T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Swinging along with the left. That's a grand slam.
You bet.
This is Sports Open Live. On America's Sports Voice.
What's down? Kansas City.
KMOX.
We do continue on here on a Thursday night into hour number two of the program. My name is Matt Pauly. If you can tell that I'm trying to catch my breath, I am. Matt Pajeski, do we dare tell the story of what just happened since, he's walking away. So this is part of what's going to be coming up today at 8 o'clock. We are going to have the first edition of the St. Louis City Soccer Report. Nate Gatter is going to be leading the way on this as we've talked to him. He's going to join us actually later on this hour. But we're going to be doing a lot of soccer stuff, and it's going to be 2 hours on soccer, and that's going to be coming up tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So you're probably going, okay, so what in the world does that have to do with why you're a little bit out of breath? Well, this is the answer to that question. Our own Matt Pajeski, and he has now walked out of the studio, so he can't even hear me talking at this very moment. He could not find his keys. We've all been in that situation, right? You can't find your keys. You always lose your keys at the worst possible moment. So Matt Pajeski loses his keys, and he's got the clicker to allow Nate into our garage. He can't find his keys, so he can't get to the clicker. I have a clicker in my car, so I say, okay, I'll go open up the garage. So I run out to my car. I find the clicker. I get in the elevator. I go down to street level. I get the garage opened up, and then I get back up here. And it just took a little bit of time, and now I am a little bit out of breath as I was running. I heard somebody said that one of the pieces of advice that Jack Buck used to always give was never run to a microphone. Because if you run to a microphone, you're going to be out of breath and it doesn't sound great. And that is fantastic advice, which I evidently did not follow through with. So here we go. So we might be just a little bit out of breath here during the course of this segment. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can also tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. There was a little bit of a Twitter debate that started over the course of the weekend, and the debate was somewhat facilitated by Martin Kilcoin from Fox 2 about whether or not sports fans in St. Louis should be in the keyword, should be Chiefs fans. Because if you're looking, obviously, we don't have an NFL team anymore in St. Louis. So if you're looking for a team to root for, well, you got a couple things going for you with the Chiefs. They're in the same state. They're just a few hours away, and they're really, really good. So there's a lot of reasons to like the Chiefs. I've said this over and over. I think you could do. It would be interesting, and I don't know where this would really play out, but I think, like from an academic standpoint, I think it would be really interesting to look at what the Kansas City Chiefs did and what the Indianapolis Colts did when the Rams left St. Louis. The Chiefs took over St. Louis. If you go to Target and you go to the area where they've got like Cardinal stuff and blue stuff, they've got Chiefs stuff. They don't have any Colts stuff. Now, we could also maybe kind of mention the Bears and all this as well. I mean, basically, the Chiefs, the Bears, and the Colts, they're all within a half hour or so in terms of distance from St. Louis. But we don't like Chicago, so it was never going to be the Bears, right? Like, well, there's, you're just not going to be promoting a Chicago team. I know there's a little bit of a Cardinals rival, Royals rivalry, but if we're being really honest about things, the Cardinals mean more from a negative standpoint. Like, the Royals fans enjoy beating the Cardinals. Cardinals fans don't really care about beating the Royals. It is not an even relationship in terms of that rivalry. So there's no reason to really hate Kansas City, and it's the team on the western side of the state. So the Chiefs did everything that they were supposed to do. The Colts probably missed out on an opportunity. If you're the Indianapolis Colts, you probably should have jumped on the opportunity to try to take St. Louis to be the NFL team of the city. But the Chiefs did it. The Chiefs did a good job of it. And now if you go to Walmart, if you go to Target, if you go wherever, you're going to see Chiefs gear. And you're rarely, if ever, going to see Colts gear. But the question was, and this has been kind of percolating on social media for the last few days. The question is it right, should sports fans in St. Louis be cheering for the Chiefs? And look, you can cheer for whoever you want, right? Like, it's not like you grow up in St. Louis, you're a Cardinals and Blues fan. I don't think you grew up in St. Louis, so you are a Chiefs fan. Like, that's, I don't think it's that, it doesn't work that way. But there are I see a lot of Chiefs stuff. I see a fair amount of Chiefs stuff. There's a lot of football fans in St. Louis, and they want to have a team. So the Chiefs are the team. And I know people bring up the fact that Kansas City was one of the teams, the ownership for the Chiefs absolutely were one of the teams that voted along with the Rams moving to Los Angeles. So maybe they shouldn't be the team that St. Louis sports fans root for. And I think that's legit. Like, of all the arguments against the Chiefs, well, if you want to find the team, go find the teams that did not vote in that direction, and maybe that's the way to go. But, yeah, I mean, it was going to happen. It was always going to end up happening. And I've seen other arguments about, well, you know, are they Blues fans in Kansas City? You know, that would be kind of weird. You're talking about something a little bit different. You know, I was on the show today with Ron Janamy, and we were talking about the NHL TV viewership this year. And if you didn't see the numbers, it's not good for the NHL. TV numbers are down about 22%. For the National Hockey League this year in terms of the national TV broadcast. I think it's a really simple reason why. Last year was the first year of the new NHL TV contract with ESPN and Turner, and they made a really big deal of it, and there was a lot of promotion behind it, and there were people who weren't hockey fans who tried it out, and that lasted 1 year. You don't see as much promotion on it anymore. It's not new anymore. So all those people who didn't watch hockey, watched a little bit of hockey last year, they're going back to not watching hockey. And people are trying to dig in a little bit more on why that might be. I don't think it's anything beyond the fact that last year was the first year of the new TV contract. There was a lot of pomp and circumstance that went along with it, and now that doesn't exist anymore. So whatever bump they may have gotten last year as a result of that, it has completely gone away. But the point I'm trying to make when it comes to comparing the two is a national NHL broadcast is going to go get you like 400,000 people, basically. And a national NFL broadcast is going to get you millions on top of millions on top of millions of people. The NFL is still the biggest professional sports league in the United States of America. And there's probably, I don't know, I was about to say something. I don't know if this is true or not. I was about to say there's still probably, even in St. Louis, a city with no NFL team and with a hockey team, there may still be more people in St. Louis that would consider themselves football fans who don't watch hockey. And I'm not sure if that's true or not. That would be interesting to kind of go through, because obviously St. Louis is a great hockey market, and the Blues are supported in great ways. And there's a reason that when players come to St. Louis and join the Blues, so many of them end up sticking around St. Louis for a long time. We live in a fantastic, fantastic hockey community. But the bottom line is that argument of, well, St. Louis fans shouldn't be rooting for the Chiefs because Kansas City fans don't root for the Blues, it's an apples and oranges comparison. It's just, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So I find it interesting that there's so many people out there that take a little bit of offense to the fact that a lot of people in St. Louis are rooting for the Chiefs. I don't have a problem with it. I like the Chiefs. I went to school in Kansas. I obviously grew up here. I grew up, when I was, the Rams got here in 96, 98? What was it? What year? The late 90s when they got here. So I was 15, 16 years old. And at that point, all my football allegiances jumped to the Rams. And then they went away from the Rams the moment that they left here. But, yeah, it's... If you want to root for the Chiefs, root for the Chiefs. And I don't understand why there's some people out there pushing that there should be some sort of rivalry between St. Louis and Kansas City. Of course, I say all that knowing that we are your home for the Chiefs here on KMOX. And the other side of that is, speaking of that, the broadcaster, Mitch Holtis, is as good of a football broadcaster as exists out there. So when you listen to the games, you're able to very, very much enjoy it. All right, we're going to keep talking football. We'll talk a little bit about the Battle Hawks. Battle Hawks head coach Anthony Becht had a media availability yesterday. What did he have to say with the season right around the corner? We'll hear some of his comments coming up in just a moment as we roll on. It is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
News Radio KMOX, the home of the Cardinals.
Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. As always, if you want to chime in on anything that we've got going on, you can do so 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can also tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. Just a blatant plug, because that's what we do sometimes here. We have our Cardinals Conversations podcast feed. It's available at KMOX.com. It's also available on the Odyssey app. So like yesterday, we had our Countdown to Opening Day show, which featured an interview with Chip Carey. It featured an interview with Scott Rolen. It featured an interview with Andre Pallante. If you missed any of that, well, you can just go to the Cardinals Conversations podcast feed and you can find it right there. Plus, it's kind of a slow buildup, but we're starting to put more and more exclusive podcast content on that podcast feed. So everything we do Cardinals related on the air here at KMOX, it is on that podcast feed. But we also do some stuff that's not on the air here, and the only way you can find it is by going there. For example, I do a interview each week with a different individual who either podcast or blogs about the Cardinals on their own, who just smart baseball people who have something to say about the team. Each week, I sit down with someone, 20, 25, 30 minutes, and we just have a good conversation about the Cardinals. And that's exclusively available on the Cardinals Conversations podcast feed. And yeah, so there you go. Got a text message. I was just talking about the hockey fandom in St. Louis, not in St. Louis, but across the country, with these TV viewership numbers going down. I was talking about the Kansas City-St. Louis rivalry and everything, and got an interesting text message. Said, yesterday I heard the reason that hockey fans are declining is because of no rivalries. Today you're perplexed about why people want to create a Kansas City-St. Louis rivalry. They are good for the game. Okay, I'm not saying that rivalries are not good for the game. Cardinals Cubs is good for the game. Absolutely, 100%. But there is no Kansas City-St. Louis rivalry when it comes to football. St. Louis doesn't have a team. So there's no rivalry there to speak of. So that's the difference there. And the NHL is going to try to do a scheduling system where you are playing more of your regional rivals. And I think that's good for multiple reasons. It's good for travel reasons. It's good for just fan excitement. But when I'm perplexed, what I would be perplexed about is why there would be an anti-Chiefs sentiment just because the Chiefs happened to play in Kansas City. If St. Louis had a team, that would be different. But there's no team there, so there's no rivalry to be had. That's my very simplistic view of this whole thing. The St. Louis Battlehawks, they are going to be opening up the season very soon, just a couple weeks out. They are going to open up the season on Sunday, February 19th. They will play in San Antonio. They will not play their first home game until Sunday, March 12th. And then they're going to play a couple home games before going on the road again. Looking forward to this season. And again, it's going to get started on February 19th, and the regular season is going to go through April 22nd. Their head coach, Anthony Becht, had a media session yesterday, talked a little bit about how training camp is going, as that is taking place right now down in Texas.
Training camp, is going really well. Our guys are working hard. The tempo, the culture is starting to build. Guys are buying in, which is great. Obviously, we hit a little snafu so far this week with the weather. We were supposed to have a scrimmage with the league to go over some of the broadcast stuff. We're going to utilize that as kind of a game day procedure situation. We weren't able to do that. And right now we're trying to make the most of the weather. So we've been in the hotel. We're maximizing our time with walkthroughs, meetings. We got regen and player activation, stretching. We're doing some workout stuff in the hotel, some treadmill running, anything we can do to kind of condition these guys to kind of keep their bodies going until we can get on the field. Hopefully we can get there tomorrow afternoon. It's just cold. We're waiting for the temperatures to drop. So, Friday may be the day where we finally get back on. But, we're just kind of pushing them mentally right now. And it's been good. Guys are good. Like I said, they understand. They're all being pros. And we're just trying to make the best of our situation.
Yeah, they did not expect there to be very cold weather in Texas as they're trying to get training camps underway. Thought that the weather would obviously be a little bit warmer than it is, but that's going to be just a momentary little lapse here, and everything's going to be okay, and they'll be able to get things rolling here up pretty soon. Becht also talked yesterday about the process of finalizing the roster.
Yeah, so we do have to make cuts. We have 70 right now. All the teams do. We'll have to bring that down to 50 at the end of next week. Probably that Thursday, Friday, we'll make those cuts, and then we'll build our roster and get rocking and rolling for that weekend, preparing for week one.
Yeah, so that's right around the corner, and it's going to be fun to see how everything goes. I think I'm really curious right now from like a business of sports perspective. This is a very cool time for St. Louis sports with a couple teams coming in. I know the Battlehawks had an existence in St. Louis before, but that technically that was a different league. This is a restart of everything, and we'll see. At that time, St. Louis football fans really had that chip on their shoulder trying to show and prove to everybody that St. Louis is a good football market, and it is. St. Louis football fans are fantastic. We did not lose the Rams because of St. Louis football fans. If anything, St. Louis football fans showed how good they were, continuing to support that team at a fairly high level through all the crap that was put on the field on a week-in, week-out basis. But I do think that football chip on our shoulder has dissipated a little bit as time has gone by, and it feels a little bit different now with this second version of the Battlehawks against the first version. I still think they're going to be supported. I'm still sure that they're going to be one of the more highly attended games in the XFL. Now, their season's going to get started. Yep, there's going to be some crossover time between the Battlehawks and also with City coming in and starting. And I guess what I'm curious about, and I don't even know where to go with this, is what impact are the two teams going to have on each other? And my first inclination is that they're not, that they're going to exist and they're going to be supported at a high level. And if only one of them existed, that in an alternate universe, that it wouldn't have been a whole lot of difference in terms of how many people are actually attending. Anything about City, they'll be fully sold out. It doesn't matter what else is going on. They're going to be fully sold out. And I expect the Battlehawks to have a lot of people there as well. I do think that the first version of the Battlehawks did just an incredible job of being in the community. They were based here. They were out all over the place. They were very visible. And now with a lot of the operations running out of Texas and the players and the coaches coming in, and they'll spend, you know, some of the individuals spend some time during the week here, but everybody's being transported back and forth on a weekly basis. That is one of the challenges for them, is making sure that they find a way to be part of the community when so many of them are not in the community for most of the week. And they're doing fine. They've got people on the ground in St. Louis. It's not like everything is running out of Texas, but just watching whatever happens here over the next like 2 months, as we see the Battlehawks get started, we see City get started, and just the way that each program, each team is going to be supported, I think it's going to be fun to watch. And it's always good to have more stuff. I made a joke on Twitter. So the Arena Football League is coming back. And I remember going to St. Louis, was it the Stampede? I think it was the Stampede, the St. Louis Stampede games in the Arena Football League. And then I know there was a million different versions of indoor football that played in St. Louis after that, whether the games were played at what is now the Enterprise Center, if they were played at the Family Arena. But the one I remember was the actual Arena Football League, and that team only existed for maybe a couple years, but that was lots of fun. And I saw that the Arena Football League is making a comeback, and St. Louis probably isn't going to get a team because they didn't have a team through much of the run of the Arena Football League. But I would love for St. Louis to have a team, because arena football can certainly be a whole lot of fun. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me if you would like as well, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Brian Flaspoehler. He is going to be teaching a history of Cardinals class in the city of Manchester. And we'll get some details from him on that. That's going to be coming up in just a moment as we roll on after this. It's Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I'm Miles Michaelis, and you're listening to Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Rolling on a Thursday night, I'll tell you what, there's something that's going to be really cool going on in the city of Manchester beginning here on February 8th. If I was not going to spring training myself, this is something that I would probably would have enjoyed being able to go to. It's going to be 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Wednesdays. It's going to be a class, the history of baseball in St. Louis. And it's going to be facilitated by, taught by, whatever you want to say, Brian Flaspoehler, who is a baseball researcher and also the author of A History of Baseball in St. Louis. And he joins us right now. Brian, thanks so much for taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on. And I think this is something that's really cool for baseball fans to be able to take advantage of. Again, it's going to go from February 8th to March 29th. City of Manchester is where folks can take part of it. So just go through a little bit over this six-week period. What are people going to be learning about from you?
So, I mean, this is a new thing for City of Manchester. They haven't done anything like this before, so we're pretty excited about it. It's going to cover St. Louis baseball history, not just the Cardinals, but everything St. Louis from 1860 all the way to the present day. So pretty broad stretch there. The first class is going to be what I like to call the Dead Sea Scrolls of baseball history. It's the really old stuff. And then after that, we'll be doing 20-year increments, marching right up to the present day. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's not just going to be me standing there talking. Although, you know, I love to talk. I'm be happy to talk all I can. But the idea is to have people, you know, share their memories also of baseball. And obviously that's not probably going to happen quite as much in the first class or two, because nobody's really been alive for that stuff. But it'll definitely happen in the more modern classes. So.
You're a Sabre guy, and it really feels like over the last maybe 5 years or so, that organization from city to city to city, more and more people are getting involved. There's a lot more research going on the history of the game. How much has being part of that group really helped lead you to not just writing your book, but also being able to put together the curriculum for this class?
Well, a lot. And I've been a member of Sabre for close to 30 years now, but I retired just a couple of years ago and just to start devoting more time to research. And I think some people still, they hear Sabre and they go Sabermetrics, and that's just the numbers guys. And that's not Sabre really at all. I mean, Sabre, obviously, a part of it is numbers, but Sabre is about all things baseball history. And some of the two of the big projects that they've been working on more recently are the bio project, which is a pretty audacious plan to write a bio for every person who's ever appeared in a Major League Baseball game. And that's like 24,000 people. Mm. So it's a pretty massive task. And they do game stories. So they're doing, you know, people are researching, you know, specific games that they have interest in. So, you know, there are for free for anyone through the Sabre website. You can go in there, look up your favorite player and see if they have a bio written on them already. There's over 5,000 biographies that have already been written. So, pretty much everybody you've ever thought or heard of has a bio in there. And yeah, Sabre is, you know, we're about the numbers, but we're about, you know, the history of the game. And it's, the organization is always trying to stress that it's about everything, not just the numbers.
So in your class, the first week is one where I got to think that there's going to be a lot of things that's talked about that people have never heard about before. It's going to span from 1875 to 1919. You mentioned earlier just the fact that this is not just Cardinals baseball. This is the history of baseball in the city of St. Louis. What has it been like for you doing the research, going all the way back and finding out details when you go back that far?
I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. Maybe it's not a lot of fun for everybody, but, you know, going and looking at all the old newspapers and seeing how this stuff was covered back then, it's just amazing. And, yeah, the first class actually starts in 1860, although Major League Baseball started in 1875 in St. Louis. But the first game ever in St. Louis was in 1860, at least that people know about, you know. But it is amazing you kind of have to piece together little scraps and tidbits of information because, you know, it just wasn't covered like it is now or even like it was most of the 20th century. So, you know, we flip through pages and just look for little scraps of anything that we can find about a game in 1880 or something. You know, that's why I kind of refer to it as the Dead Sea Scrolls of baseball history, because you're just looking for any little scrap you can find to try to put something together. Given that, there's a ton of people who have done a lot of great research in you know, pre-20th century baseball all over. And yeah, people don't realize that St. Louis has had major league teams in basically every league that has ever existed as a major league, except for the Players League. And that only lasted 1 year. So there's been a lot of those teams, but most of them were pre-20th century teams. They were in the 19th century. So
So I was working in Evansville, Indiana for a minor league baseball team. I remember we were doing a Negro Leagues night, and we knew the date that Josh Gibson had played a game. And I had a project to go to the library and go through old newspapers and just try to find something. And there was basically nothing. And obviously with it being Negro Leagues and the racism and everything that existed at the time, maybe it was covered in a little bit different way. But I remember being so shocked when that I'm going through all the archives and I could find absolutely nothing. So I always appreciate and really respect people like you and other folks in Sabre who do so much work, like going through archives and beyond newspapers and just finding tidbits, because it is not easy.
Right. And, you know, Negro Leagues is a lot like, I mean, it was like 19th century baseball. The records were poorly kept. And up until 20 years ago, it was really hard to tease out information. But, you know, a lot of Sabre people have done a lot of great work looking at, you know, newspapers that have been digitized and putting, you know, those statistics together. So, I mean, that was really the driver behind Major League Baseball declaring the Negro Leagues a major league, was really the work that those researchers did to put all that information together. And of course, this class, we definitely will talk about the St. Louis Stars, who was our team, you know, in the Negro Leagues from 20 to 31. And a good team. They won three pennants in 4 years in the Negro National League. So, and that's competing against the powerhouse, you know, Kansas City Monarchs. So, they'll be mentioned in the class for sure.
Brian Flaspuller continuing to join us. So the class 1, 1875 to 1919, class 2, 1920 to 1939, class 3, 1940 to 59, then 60 to 79, then 80 to 99, and then certainly 2000 to present at the end. If folks want to register, they can go to manchestermo.gov/parks, and you can get registered. And there's one price for residents, $42. For the 6 weeks, for non-residents, just a little bit under $55. So for a six-week class, that's a pretty good price in there. Mentioned earlier the fact that you are the writer of the book History of Baseball in St. Louis. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that book and what they do? Is that book a main part of the curriculum that you use in this class?
So that book was published last year, June 1st, I think, or June 2nd is when it came out. It is, you know, history of baseball in St. Louis. There have been thousands of books written about the history of baseball in St. Louis. My book is a little different take in that it looks at specific addresses in the city and goes to that address and says, hey, this address is baseball related because of. And so it is not really part of the curriculum of this class. This class is going to talk more about the people and the teams, you know, specifically. That book talks about, you know, it definitely covers people and teams, but it really talks about the places. So it's the history of the place and the history of the person associated with the place. And it basically gives you a tour guide around the city of St. Louis to go see all the great baseball sites. And, I mean, people just don't, I think they overlook what we have here. We had such a rich baseball history and so many players from St. Louis. 270 Major League Baseball players were born in the city of St. Louis. So there's a ton of history, and being able to go to a place on a map and say, yes, this is where Harry Carey grew up, this house. This is where Silver King, who was a pitcher in the 19th century, this is the house he lived in, you know, his whole life after his baseball career. And then go to all the old ballparks, the Negro League parks, the old American Association Sportsman's Park site and the new parks. I mean, it's just a neat trip through the city of St. Louis, but not really part of the curriculum of this class, at least not directly.
If people do want to get
research, it all ties together in some way or another. So
if people do want to get a copy of that book, what's the way to do that?
So it's in I think pretty much all the local bookstores. Barnes and Noble's definitely have it. I think most of the independent bookstores either have a copy or could get one. It's on Amazon. But, you know, honestly, if you just sign up for this class in Manchester, I will be more than happy to, you know, sell you a discounted copy, sign it, you know, which probably hurts the value of the book if I sign it. But I'd be happy to sell a copy there too. But so yeah, it should be fairly easy to find as long as you can spell my name, which is not necessarily easy all the time.
FLASPOHLER for people who are wondering. Again, manchestermo.gov/parks. It is going to be a Wednesday afternoon class, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon for 6 weeks, starting on Wednesday, February 8th. $42 for residents in Manchester, $54.60 for non-residents over the course of the 6 weeks. Again, manchestermo.gov/parks for all the details. Brian, this was a fun conversation. Thank you. I hope you get great attendance at the class, and glad to get to know you a little bit, and we may lean on you for some history of baseball stuff moving forward.
Absolutely. I love to talk about baseball and baseball history, so anytime you need somebody, I'm happy to fill in.
Awesome. That sounds great. There's Brian Flaspoehler joining us, local baseball writer. Again, a history of baseball in St. Louis class that's going to begin in Manchester on February 8th, and that's going to be really, really cool. Something that, I'll be honest with you. Don't know much about the history of baseball in St. Louis in the 1800s and early 1900s. If I was not going to spring training, if this was this is something that I would really get a kick out of and enjoy, and this has kind of motivated me to maybe learn a little bit more about some of what I don't know when it comes to the history of baseball in St. Louis. So that's very, very cool, and hopefully a lot of people are able to take advantage. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some soccer, a City SC right around the corner from getting things rolling, and we're going to be talking a lot of soccer tonight here on KMOX. Don't go anywhere. It's Sports Open Line.
I'm Dakota Hudson.
I'm Jordan Hicks.
I'm Cardinals pitcher Jack Flaherty.
I'm Tommy Edmond.
I'm Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker.
I'm Paul DeJong.
I'm Woodson Contreras.
I'm Adam Wainwright, and you're listening to the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in this edition of Sports Open Line here on KMOX, but we've got something coming up tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock that's going to be a lot of fun. We are continuing to get set for City SC making their official debut, and we're going to be talking a lot of soccer. It's going to be the St. Louis City Soccer Report that's going to be on tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Our guy, Nate Gatter, who's been all over our soccer coverage really since City got started with the City 2 games, going to be a part of it. And also Jen Cease-Gansner is going to be on the show as well. And they're both joining us right now just to kind of give a preview of what's going on tonight and moving forward. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
It's good. Good to see you. I think the last time I saw you, we were freezing our backsides off at the exhibition against a Bayer Leverkusen.
Yes, we were. Yeah, you had a lot more fun, though, that night than I think you were expecting coming in.
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, what I enjoyed about that, I didn't know what I was looking at. Like, I can't break down soccer. I think I've said this to you before, Nate. I would like to get video of a game and just sit down with you and you like talk me through some of the things that are going
on. This is the problem when I come here, because then you hype me up. Like, I know all this stuff about soccer.
You
make me out to be the expert. We're going to talk to some experts tonight. That's what we're really, you need to be tuned in tonight, because you're going to get your soccer education.
I will be tuned in. I'm looking forward to that. And Jen, you've been connected to the soccer for so long and in so many cool ways. And you've also been connected here at KMOX, and now you get to do this with Nate. I'm really excited for you.
Thank you. Did you just call me old?
No, I don't think so. I don't. When were you officially part of KMOX?
I was the first recipient of the Robert Highland Scholarship in 1992.
Wow. Okay.
So I was at Lindenwood at the time. Okay. So yeah, that's when I started.
That's pretty cool. And I know you've been involved in the game and with club soccer, and I believe your husband's been involved.
Like,
there's a lot going on from soccer throughout your entire life.
That's pretty much. My four kids were, you know, doomed or destined to at least have to play a little bit.
Okay.
So there you go.
What's as you've watched because you're involved in club soccer, I graduated from high school in 2001.
what has happened maybe in the last 20 years in terms of the level of soccer that we're seeing from a youth standpoint in the city of St. Louis?
It's so much more. It's just like, it's more is like the one term. It's more. It's more organized. There's more of them. There's more happening. There are more clubs. There's more opportunities. Also, more training. We can always, you know, from a mother's perspective, also, you know, I feel like I was an overtrained athlete before that was a thing. And I couldn't hold a candle to what a lot of kids are doing now with training. So it's just a lot more. Cool thing is exposure, right? Mm-hmm. You get to opportunity. But then the other side is, you know, time management.
So something that is big for me, I've got a daughter before in March, and I want her to see things where she knows she can then do things.
That's right.
And
exposure.
One of the things I love is the fact that right across from the soccer stadium, you've got the facility. So young soccer players in this area can be on Highway 40 and they can drive by that facility over and over and over, and they can see something that can be part of their future. And I love that.
Yeah, me too. I don't think understand how cool and really different that is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just from the great sports that we already have here, right? But to have that kind of accessibility and that kind of close touch to it is not something that you see everywhere.
So, Nate, what's on the show tonight?
We got a lot coming up tonight. We're going to talk to, first of all, Santiago Beltran, who's been doing the play-by-play for City 2 in Spanish on Lead Air Sports Media. So that'll be fun. Bill McDermott's coming on. Of course, he's
Mr. Soccer, the Don of St. Louis soccer,
really the man in every regard. Tom Timmerman, who writes about soccer for the Post-Dispatch, and he is probably more plugged in than almost anybody in the city. We'll also talk to some members of the club, including a couple players. Jared Stroud and John Nelson are going to talk to us, a couple of the guys who have been around MLS and of course, new additions, as they all are, to City this year. So we're excited. I haven't gotten to hear from many players on these airwaves so far this year, so that'll be enjoyable. And then at the end, we're going to be talking to Peter Wood, who's the vice president of content for St. Louis City. I think probably a name that relatively few, even hardcore fans, know. But he's been, in some ways, the architect of a lot of the content. And City, you know, have been so brand-centric since they first launched, even now a couple of years ago, and so focused on content and what they're putting out and building that brand. I think it's going to be really interesting to hear from him, somebody who not only has been on the inside of it, but in some ways has built it himself.
I was sitting in the sports office earlier today when you guys were on your Zoom call, and I was listening. You had no clue that I'm sitting there eavesdropping on your call. And I had no clue that Tom Timmerman had such a history with the sport of soccer.
He does, yeah. It goes back. And I don't know if it was as an intern or if it was shortly after he had graduated from college, but he was at the LA Times back in the early 90s when soccer was not really a desirable beat in the United States, at least. And he was covering a lot of soccer, and he has some great stories, even talking about, you know, what did broadcasting in the U.S. of European soccer games look like? That, you know, L.A. had that the L.A. broadcast, the only broadcast you can get in L.A. of European soccer would be on a tape delay the next day, where in order to get English commentary on this, to get L.A. commentators on it, they would have to have the tapes sent like by plane to the United States to then be re-recorded with the local announcers, who sometimes would only get like a sheet of paper with the players' numbers and names, and that was it.
That was the extent
of the preparation that was available to them. Because you couldn't find, you know, if Leeds United, you know, were playing against Burnley, that kind of information was not available in the same way back, like going into the 80s as it is now, certainly not in the U.S. And some of his stories are just amazing. So he's been around MLS since the very beginning, and he's been around City probably more so than any other outside media member has been in their preseason prep. It's going to be great to hear from him.
It is the St. Louis City Soccer Report. It gets started in just a few minutes after our top of the hour news. No Sports Open Line tomorrow night because of SLU basketball, so I'll be back with you coming up on Monday. But don't go anywhere. Nate and Jen, they've got you for the St. Louis City Soccer Report. That's next right here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.